You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Dean Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Homeland After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Homeland After Show.
Well, hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Bing is for doing, and we are here doing another AfterBuzz TV After Show for Homeland Season 2, Episode 6, entitled Gettysburg Address. I'm your host, John Comerford, and I'm joined in the studio by the unflappable Jenna Bush.
Hello.
Also by the unshakable Roth Cornett.
Hello.
And the ungyratable Thaddeus Massey.
I'm gyratable, hi.
Gyratable. Also, it's the best I can come up with on short notice. Also joining is a very special guest host. You've seen her on numerous TV shows, including NBC's Windfall. She's been on Fox's North Shore, CW's Ringer. She recently wrapped her second season as Lacey Hamilton on the hit MTV show Awkward, the lovely and talented Nikki DeLoach. We hear you are a super fan of Homeland, a big fan of Homeland. I say, and did you come to it right away, or did you find it this season, or when did you?
Oh, episode one.
Episode one.
Episode
you were
one.
Episode
yes.
one. Wow. Speaking of hooked, a lot of things happening this episode. First impressions. What we thought we had a lot of it set up, but then boom.
Yeah, I think it was
nice
sort of
gunfight.
Yeah, it was going along. I was like, okay, well, after last week's like super intense interrogation, I was like, okay, well, this one can't be as intense and as amazing. And then
can't it though?
Then it can. Yeah. And then people break into their
That's
guns.
What the writers said to you. They had that very conversation. Uh-huh. They said that this is what the audience will say, and we will come back with. Oh, really?
Right.
Take this, Gettysburg.
It's totally true. Oh, my God. Shootings and fake deaths.
Do we want to get there? Do we want
to
talk?
No, we'll get to
can
that.
Can we get into that?
But that's
we'll hold
that.
Let's
that was
tease
just
audience.
A first impression.
Because I'm very excited to talk about it.
Yeah. Oh, yes, Anna. She's got the vapors about Quinn again. So.
No, it's not about... I'm excited about that scene.
Oh, no, because I have vapors about Quinn.
I have a theory. I have a theory about the masked gunman.
Me too.
Oh, yeah. Do you have a theory?
Oh, no, about Quinn.
Oh, no,
I have
it.
You got the vapors about Quinn?
Uh-huh. We're having vapors.
Yeah, yes. Apparently the ladies like the Quinn.
That's yeah, true. I think it was just the knife thing that just did me in. I was like,
flutter. He kind of had, he really did have me at hello.
She's kidding.
Government bad boy.
So kidding, yeah.
Yeah, that never works for me. I tried the knife thing. The ladies don't like it.
Try not to stab people.
So, yeah, I don't know
why. Especially if you don't.
All right, well, before we get into that, I want to start out with the Dana and Finn storyline, the whole hospital thing, because we were talking about that much last week about, you know, the fact that they put that in the mix.
You have to have changed your mind about Dana a little bit at this point. You have to have.
As I qualified last week, the thing that bothered me more than anything, I love the way they've painted Dana with her father in that relationship. The only thing that bothered me about it was how she was such a little shit to her mom. Until that one scene, but otherwise, I thought she's been wonderful. So It hasn't changed my mind so much because parts of her and parts of the way they've painted her, I've loved that character and I love the way she portrays it. This is just more. I like that they're filling her out because the one note with her mom was just driving me nuts.
Well, I think maybe to touch upon that with the one note with the mom, she also revealed a little bit tonight that her dad was gone a lot when she was younger. So she's painted her dad as this hero and this man who there was an abandonment. Thing that happened and she wanted when he came home it's like the hero's home so he's always been this hero and yet she's been there in this home all along with the mom and if you know anything about mothers and daughters especially
that's what
once
we've
you
been trying to tell you
once you become a teenager and by the way that's how
not,
it is
I have not disagreed with that I've never disagreed with that the only thing I've said is having witnessed that relationship between mothers and daughters on numerous occasions, it isn't that simple. It's not
it's never that simple.
Note.
You're right.
It's, and just last week you said, yeah, that was like, because it's not always one thing.
Oh, no, no.
And
but
they
I
were
mean,
only showing one thing to me.
But all you'd ever hear out of me was, oh, my God, Mom.
Mom.
Also, hi, Mom. She watches this every single week.
Well, maybe not this
Jenna's mom.
Also, if my mom would like to leave a comment, Mom, please leave a comment. When from the time I was 14 until the time I was 18, wasn't it just like, ugh. I mean, they're really, like, they're, yes, of course there were other layers, but that's all you ever heard out of my mouth. So
right, but I do agree with you, John, that I think, like, in season two, you kind of have to bust open the relationship,
and it does
need to be layered a little bit more by
season
two.
Even if it's true, even if it's true, and I'm not even debate that, it's boring as hell to watch.
Sure.
If that's the only scene I ever see is this, oh, here's the roll of the eyes, here's the put-upon mom, I know how the scene's going to start and end.
True.
What I kind of dug this week, though, was there were a bunch of parallels going on. You kind of had, like, Dana in the car with Brody where, you know, he's like, are you okay? Are you okay?
Yeah.
You know, because they read each other so well, and they have that amazing sort of dynamic and relationship. But then also I thought what was cool is that this is maybe a bit of a stretch for me, but Saul and Carrie have this great father-daughter dynamic also.
Yeah.
And it's like Saul's concerned about Carrie for liking the wrong man to some degree in Brody. And Brody's concerned about Dana. You can see him look in the rearview mirror going with this crappy, I don't think that's a stretch at all. Yeah, this like crappy little teenage boy. And then it's funny too, because another parallel is that Dana's kind of taking a feather out of dad's cap when she goes to the hospital and her first instinct is to come up with this ridiculous lie. Mm-hmm. And I'm just sitting there going, your father is a national figure. Say that you're there as a candy striper. Yeah. Say anything. There could be a picture of you with your dad.
Voluntary.
I know. It's way too odd. It's like, you know what I mean? How does this woman not even know who you are at this point?
Do you know what I mean? Like, to me, I was like that. That is, you want to get caught. You want to get caught. If you're saying my dad's a cardiologist, she's too smart to know that that isn't a ridiculous, stupid lie.
Yeah, and also, it seems awfully easy to get around that hospital. I was just in a hospital, and Roth knows because she brought me my cell phone charger, but you can't just walk through the halls.
FYI, this woman was trying to, and I am not exaggerating, trying to tweet rolling into the OR.
She's not kidding.
I am not exaggerating. I had to physically remove the iPhone. Let's move on.
Wait,
are you okay?
I'm good. My appendix exploded.
Oh.
Wow.
Oh.
It's all good now.
Okay. All right.
Where the hell was your phone?
I had to wrestle it out.
My appendix just exploded.
No, I'm not. I really did that.
Rolling into the ER.
I was going to say.
I did that. Also, I was on a lot of morphine. So.
Oh.
Before or after the tween?
Yes.
In any rate, yeah, it did seem like it was a little bit more easy than it ought to have been to roll up into the ICU.
Yeah, you know.
That's TV.
Waltz in.
But I definitely agree with you in that she does want to get caught. There's no question.
She definitely wants to fess up.
And I know we'll get into this with predictions, but it did seem from the coming attractions as though this may have come out. We can get to that later.
Let me note that now.
It has to come out. It has to come out some kind of way.
Yeah, but I mean, I think next week.
How about
Finn?
I thought he did a great job of playing a putz. That was wonderful.
He's a baby douche.
We knew it.
This kid, he reminds me of that guy. You know how it just reminded me of, you know, when a girl like is dating a guy and she's like, you know, we have to have a conversation. We have to have a talk. And she's going to tell you that she's late or something. That's what it felt like. And he was like, it's not mine. Get away from me. Who are you? By the way, I've never seen you before. It felt like that.
Yeah.
Well, but he's so fundamentally, and I think this is a parallel to Brody too, because I feel like Brody really only cares about himself. I mean, at this point, everything he does is maneuvering to secure his own position, whether he's working with the CIA or not. It's all about him and securing. And he also is getting a little ballsy, like, hey, how about not having a tail following me to school when I'm driving my daughter to school? How about not being a terrorist? You don't have any. You're crazy. Like, you don't have any choices anymore. You're done. You have no more choices.
I know. And to your point, he hasn't done anything. Right.
What?
He didn't blow anyone up or anything.
He killed a guy in the woods, but whatever. Yeah, but shot a guy in the head. I mean, come on.
But they're both so entitled. Like, the kid and Brody, I mean, I just saw so many, like, they're both so entitled, and they only care about themselves.
Yeah,
you know?
And look what he did with Jessica.
Seemingly.
I mean, he was like, he had to add that little thing in where any smart man, which he normally is, I mean, except for his life choices, but, you know, other than that, he would normally not add the, well, she's not with the CIA anymore. Like, he just went one step too far, and I think he's starting to make bad decisions.
I mean, that's just a bit funny.
But wait a minute,
but using that same logic, does he want to be found out?
Maybe.
Possibly.
Maybe, because it, can you imagine the pressure?
That's what I was going to say.
Yep.
He wants out of this situation big time.
Yeah.
He's caught.
Well, what was the simplest way out? What were we talking earlier? The simplest way out was let Abu Nazir get shot.
Let him get shot. That's what he should have done.
Yeah, but he's emotionally tied to him. You know, there's that aspect of it which makes it so complicated and nuanced, which is why we love it. Yeah. But also when I was thinking about with the daughter, as soon as that lie happened, like in terms of when they hit the body and she has to cover it up, like I thought, wow, like her innocence, all of that is taken away.
Yeah.
It's done.
Absolutely.
Even though she didn't hit the body, just the cover-up of living with that for the rest of her life. Like it's a trap. She'll live in. She has to get out.
And I think Dana, and we've said this about this character before, of all of the characters on the show, Dana has the least tolerance for BS. She has the least tolerance for lies. And so she is not going to be able to do this. She's not going to be able to continue on with this lie much longer. And I think that'll be, because her and her father are so much alike, it's just going to be interesting to see that played against each other. Mm-hmm. You know, I know we weren't totally crazy about the idea that the kids had hit this guy. It felt a little...
Yeah, intense.
The way they got there, we weren't.
It felt
that is thought it was fine, but we weren't happy with the way they got there. But
yeah,
not that it was fine, but
I am
writing creatively.
But are you guys liking the way they're playing it out?
Oh yeah, I'm glad they did it because it was the way it was going to play out. I just don't like the way they got there.
I just want to give a shout out really quickly.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
To Max Silvestri at Max Silvestri.
Okay.
On Homeland, he made a tweet regarding Homeland. He said the CIA needs to investigate Dana's boots. Now, the only reason I'm making a comment on this is because I thought about this while we were watching.
I thought about it
when she cooked up with a fan. I thought to myself, is this the only pair of shoes this girl has? She wears those boots every episode.
Mm-hmm. It's really
And this
weird.
Also goes to show you that Jessica is a neglectful mom.
Okay.
This is America. She's an upper class.
I had a pair of boots like that. I had a pair of combat boots when I was a teenager, and I wore them like every day. Yeah. I wore them with skirts and shorts and whatever else I was wearing.
So
wore
they
them
also
day.
Need to investigate your boots then.
Well, I have not been a teenager for about a minute.
Yes. I bet you still have.
Just a second.
But that's true. I never noticed shoes ever. I never noticed shoes, and I did actually notice them.
You're right, because they have those floppy dancer things
on it. They're floppy. They look like L-shoes.
But
who sent that in?
Max Silvestri.
Okay.
MaxSilvestri. Max Silvestri. Shout out to Max.
Yes, thank you. And for it might as well while we're talking about that, thanks to everybody who's been rating and commenting and giving us feedback and for going to iTunes and downloading. That's what's made us have 1.5 million downloads a week. I'm sorry, a day, over 11 million downloads a week. So
Woo!
Keep that going. All we ask is that you tell a friend, give us some rating comments.
Homeland
is number one. So thank you very much. Max Silvestri and everybody else that's doing that, appreciate that. Go ahead.
So I want to give a shout out to the writers for allowing this character to be a little more animated. To me, she always seems like she just hit the bong. She's just like so, like,
she's been on the bong for a couple of days.
To be fair, she had.
Yeah,
I know.
I mean, that was part of her character.
Yeah, you're right.
She was stoned.
Yeah. Right.
She was stoned
a lot.
And, you know, now that Xander's no longer part of her.
She's a little animated now. Like, something's going on, and you see her breathing heavy, and her facial expressions. Yeah. She's like, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? Like,
I think John
reality.
Said it right. Xander's gone, so the pot's gone.
Right. Right.
And so all of a
That's
sudden,
true.
She's coming out.
She's having withdrawals.
Right when she needs it.
She's coming out of the fog.
It's right when she needs it.
She's going to probably go right back to Xander and go, damn, dude.
I gotta relax.
Let me hit that.
I think what's cool is I think they've written for her. I think that Dana, I don't think that this was necessarily the immediate plan. In fact, I believe I read that in an interview that it wasn't necessarily the plan originally to have Dana be such a driving force on the show, but the chemistry between those two actors was so strong and she's so good.
I think she's so good.
Yeah, she's good.
She's great.
Yeah. And so they've, I think, created more of a space for her in the show, and good for them because she's fantastic and they should use her.
Yeah.
But I think we were talking actually before the show just a little bit, and Nikki and I were talking about this, like that the writers, we do have to give a shout out to them because they seem to let things develop and see where things are going, and it isn't just like, hey, here's our outline.
Yeah.
It's like, or, you know, or even and the people who are shooting it, like last week, and just the, the confrontation and never taking the camera off and never, you know, and just letting things happen. And, you know, and same thing with Dana, just letting that all happen.
Well, yeah, well, we also have to thank Showtime for letting it happen, because if you were on a network, like, they would never give them the time.
Oh, so true. So. And we were also, I was also saying that it's in very few shows do you watch, like, as a viewer, and you put so much trust into writers.
Yeah.
Like, you know, what they do every single episode, even if you go, oh, I don't like that she walked to the hotel room. What are they going to do? But you're like, ah, it's Homeland. It's going to be great.
Yeah. Like, whatever they
always
do.
Is. And it always
makes sense. Yeah. Very few shows where you can just trust the writers and just watch and go on the ride.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, well, Brody,
so
too. I mean, and we've talked about this before, but he even was there originally, I think very early on, was potentially going to, the best was going to blow up. And then they realized, like, no, we cannot lose
him. We have Damian Lewis on the show.
We're going to need Damian to stay on for a bit, and because their chemistry, his chemistry with Claire Danes is so,
it's
so
unbelievable,
phenomenal.
It's so good.
It's rich.
It's quite rich. Quite rich. Yeah, I mean, are we, I haven't looked at our list of topics yet, but
we're moving on to mics.
Oh, to mics, okay. All right, because, I mean, that's sort of interesting when he walked in and it was Saul. That was his contact.
Yeah.
Saul is the man.
Isn't he?
I love Saul.
Period.
Yeah.
He's so good on this. Mandy Patinkin is so good. Pitch perfect in everything that he does on this show. Mm-hmm. I love him.
Yeah, he's a bomb.
Because
no pun intended.
just that little moment with Saul when he looks and he's laying down the law in that moment and he's going, you're being told you're going to let this know not if you understand. Yeah. And it's not machismo and it's not, I mean, it's just so matter of fact.
Yeah.
And it's just, he understands that this is the absolute truth and there are going to be severe consequences. And I really thought Mike was going to listen, but
no.
Did you really thought Mike was going to listen?
I did. Yeah.
Really?
I did. Because Mike to date as a character has been kind of like very steady. He's been the steady guy. He's been the sane, rational. Of anybody on the show, he's been the most steady, sane, and rational.
Right.
And so for him to go to Langley and realize in that moment that you're risking everything. You're risking your career, certainly.
But I know, I think he has an ulterior motive because it's that wife. Because when the minute that he thought that it might really be Brody, that's his in.
That's his in to Jessica, which,
I think they overplayed it because they brought him in and David, he said the whole line about a GS-15 or whatever. Because once they did that, he knew something was up.
Yeah, I don't think they overplayed it. I'm sort of surprised that he went into the garage.
Yeah.
Like that, I was sort of like...
No, I think what I was saying is the CIA overplayed it.
Then
he knows something's up and I'm not
leaving
it now.
Which could have been that nod that they were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. Maybe they really actually do want him.
Right, but if you were him, wouldn't you then assume that there's surveillance on that house? And that if you're going to go rifling through that house, you're going to be seen doing that. And they just told you to drop it. I mean, I understand that he loves Jessica. Mm-hmm. I do. And I understand that maybe he's going to have a conversation with her about this. But I feel like if I were him, I would have a conversation with her by a creek, nowhere near that house, where I would think that there was potential surveillance and be like, I think your man did this. I think he's crazy. Here's what the CIA is telling me. This, you need to get away from him and into my loving arms.
I had a problem with the conversation. I thought it was, for me, the one moment where I thought the writers kind of let us drift into soap opera night.
I call it melodrama.
Yeah, so melodrama. I was like, you know, I went to that. I totally took me out of the show for a second because I was like, this
exactly
is not the,
the
tone. This is not the style of the show.
Exactly,
it's not the writing.
Thing.
So I think they forced the conversation to happen. And it just felt a little, because the show's so on, you know, point as far as the script goes, it just took me out of it.
One small moment where it might not be, it stands out more.
It stood out so much to me.
Totally
for me,
does.
I said the exact same thing when it was happening. We went to melodrama.
Yeah.
And of course, Jessica spilled the CIA thing.
Yeah, it was a little too convenient.
Oh, my
gosh. That's why they don't tell you anything, Jessica. That's why. Because you blurted out.
He has almost lost his mind. I mean, I think they need that.
This is why he doesn't tell you anything. Yeah. This is why he doesn't share anything, ladies. Goodness.
I have a tweet here from Apollo Priestess saying, Dana wears her boots like that as it's the last remnant of her being the rebel.
Okay. Mm. She's holding on to her individuality with her boots. Thank you, Priestess of Apollo. I like that.
I know.
I agree. If I had had to wear a uniform like that as a teenager, I definitely would have had something.
There would have been piercings for me.
There would have been things that I claimed as my own.
Some piercings.
Yeah.
I like that.
It's best I didn't have
Jenna
a uniform.
Bush piercings.
Yeah. Awesome. That makes a lot of sense. Now
I'm only picturing them with tats and piercings now. I don't
know. I have both of those things.
There you go. See?
Really?
And she's not wearing a uniform, so
no.
That kind of blows that logic out of the water.
All right.
Okay. All right. Well, speaking of Jessica, all right, I think they probably needed that there the same way they needed to get to the car. They needed to have that gun. This is their new kind of plot point, you know, that they needed order. But I agree that they didn't handle
it. But even the bullets, it's like, so there's a whole box of bullets.
Minus one
missing. Where are all those in the mag? I mean, there's right. always like one bullet. That's his evidence
also,
that he killed him.
Also, he's military. Mm-hmm. I mean, he has a gun in the house. Like,
what does that say?
He has one missing bullet. You mean to tell me that you're that confident?
Therefore,
that you're taking one bullet to where you're going?
Right.
He
could have taken the gun and taken it to forensics to match the bullet that killed Walker. But no. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that for whatever reason, they rushed that conversation. And maybe it's because it's going to play in some way in the next couple of episodes. Episodes, you know, but I was surprised only in that he seemed to handle it with like zero knowledge of how Langley and the military work.
Yeah, and he's a military police.
Exactly. Yeah. So it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Well, and also it's like these are not writers that like play towards the build it, nothing, you know, building up to that last moment in episode 12 or whatever it may be at the very final. Like they kind of just let things come. Like if it's a big moment, it can happen in episode 3 or it can happen in 6 or it can happen all throughout. Or they don't play towards that like normal television shows do. So I feel like just the whole storyline in general just did not work for me because it just went against how they normally write the show.
Yeah, it felt like it was placed there. Well, that's what I was saying last week about the car accident. It felt like it was placed there. Like something needed to happen and what they chose didn't quite work. And I mean, I'm sure it will now, but yeah. So hopefully this will play out next week and it'll end up being.
I'm sure it will.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course.
I mean, there you go.
It's Homeland. They're awesome.
Well, so the thing is, like, if they stir this pot too much, it's going to be really dangerous. You know what I mean? If they start trying to stir the pot about Walker and who he is and what that's very dangerous because nobody's meant to know that he has any connection to that at all. You know, otherwise his cover is going to be blown. His cover working for this, the only people that know right now that he would have potentially been a co-conspirator with Walker are the CIA. And the CIA need that to be a secret in order for him to be able to draw Abu Nuzira.
Right.
If Mike goes stomping around in the evidence and then Jessica gets talky about it, that could blow his cover with Abu Nuzira.
It's going to blow everything.
It's going to blow everything.
Yeah.
Which is out probably of the water.
So is that the best you can do with Mike? Tell him to nod his head and do you really think this guy is going to tuck his tail and not do anything? And these were his buddies. These are like, it gets it's deeper. These guys are Marines, right?
I'm kind of surprised.
Yeah, the Marines, they follow orders.
Yeah,
Why would he not think he would follow those orders?
That's why I'm surprised they didn't use his commanding officers to order something first.
Yeah, see, that to me would make more sense.
I can see him following those orders more than I can see this push that
they
made.
The reason I wondered about it is because it was just the line. It was the odd line that he had what's his face had about nod your head.
No, Saul.
Oh, Saul.
Yeah.
Because that's how he treats assets and people.
Yeah, but like it just seemed like an odd line. Like say yes, like say you understand me. Nod your head. I don't know. It just. I don't know why that sort of struck me as weird. Yeah. Maybe it means nothing, it totally.
Everything Saul does is like covert.
Yeah, it's
true.
Nod your head.
That's kind of how I took it. Like he doesn't want. I mean, Saul is just used to operating. I guess I took it that way also. That everything he does is kind of covert. Like Jenna, we're gonna meet later for coffee. Hit me once if you get it.
I'm not actually gonna hit you.
Well, then you don't get it. Yeah. Do you see?
I know.
Do you see?
But do you want me to do that?
Yeah.
I don't think
that was good.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he's just used to operating that way. And also, I think that there is, when you don't even allow someone to use their words, like an adult person, that you are showing them how much power you have over them.
Yeah. Right.
You're not even allowed to speak right now like a human being, but you can nod your head and tell me you're going to shut the fuck up forever. Whoa. Ooh, I did it.
You dropped
an STFU'd.
Whoa, that's it.
We took a turn.
Sorry, guys.
Wow. This is why certain people shouldn't be allowed to speak.
It's true, though.
Potty mouth.
Does that not tell you right there, I have all the power, you have none, you're going to be silent now, and you're going to stay silent.
That's right.
Goodbye.
Yeah, totally. Well, I mean, Saul was sort of interesting, too, in the way that he's all of a sudden, oh, John's making faces at me. Saul is interesting now that, like, the way he's...
animals. It's impossible to wrangle any of you.
But he's actually trusting Carrie, and I noticed that happened a lot this week, where everybody, whether they initially question her or not, are actually trusting her.
Her instincts, right. Exactly, like Peter.
Mm-hmm.
Except for Quinn.
Peter Quinn's so pretty.
No, he did try. He said
he trusted her.
"Is this another instinct of yours?" And she didn't say anything, but he got that it was. And then he called for backup.
Exactly.
He did trust her.
Oh, right.
It happened over and over. She was trusted,
but he did want to get the little jab.
Well, yeah,
he doesn't really trust her with Brody.
You guys say it's
don't
foreplay,
trust him.
So
nobody
trust
should totally trust her with Brody.
That's true.
No.
Okay, let's ask because we're moving on to Brody and but before we do, let's let everybody know in our special segment we're going to be talking to Nikki about what's upcoming for her. And things like that. But now, speaking of Nikki, do you think Quinn and Carrie, because these two have their own opinions, are they going to get together?
I think that could be possible.
So do you think all that stuff is foreplay for them?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
That's flirting.
Mm-hmm. It is flirting for those two characters. It absolutely is. Yep. It's power struggle.
Oh, yeah.
But a good power struggle, a lot of the times is about... flirtation.
Yep.
And getting it out.
Yeah.
See?
Getting it out.
Another woman in the room, and she gets it.
Yes.
So do you think at this point he's dumped the ER nurse he was...
No. I think he won't drop her. He won't drop her until he for sure knows that Carrie's.
Okay.
You're a guy. Yeah. You know how that works.
You know what I mean? Guys don't move on until they know they got another one in the pot.
Totally true.
I'm a one girl at a time kind of guy, so.
Aw, that's adorable.
So is.
Oh, look how sensitive he just got. Just so sensitive.
We're not saying
and sweet.
He's not one at a time. He's just lining her up.
Right. He's lining her up.
He's
it's
lining
flirtation.
Her up. He's not getting rid of the other one until she's in play.
You know, you gotta have a six man. Make sure your bench is deep.
Yeah. But do people? Okay, I have to say, I love how Quinn said though, and I wrote this down. Bring Brody in, but don't trust him.
Yeah.
It's. It's crazy because even at the end when he was saying I did not know, I don't believe a word that comes out of his mouth.
No, like, he knew.
Not a word.
Yeah. No.
But I mean,
nothing.
I thought that, you know, I get the line, but I was just going, really? Do you have to say that? Does anybody trust him? Seriously?
Is
that
I think
even...
there's a part of her that there's a part because here's the other thing I wrote down. Because she was talking about, well, I saw the suicide tape. I know.
My eyes are open.
And that's well, and what I said was that's because when you fall before your eyes are open, you can't control the way in which you land.
That's like, good.
It's true.
Whoa.
And she did. She fell before her eyes were really open.
Wait a minute.
She fell for him.
Yeah. Right, but
before
wait a minute,
her eyes
but,
were, she still thought that he could be this terrorist, this thing. She didn't know. She lost her mind chasing this thing.
She was trying to convince everybody that he was.
She completely fell, and then she believed that he wasn't. She changed her mind and believed that she wasn't, fell in love with him, and then she could. After the fact, you can't control the way in which you land. Mm-hmm. She saw the video, but it doesn't change the fact that she already fell in love with him beforehand. For her, I think she is going to trust him. I think there's going to be a point where she trusts him and it's going to be make a mistake.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's going to be her undoing.
Because she emotionally is still connected to the person she thought he was.
Absolutely.
Because listen, when you know how this happens when you're in a relationship with anyone, they change, they're a different person, but you're still emotionally connected to the person that you fell in love with in the first place. And it's very hard for you to admit and reconcile yourself to the fact that they are no longer that person.
Yeah.
Maybe they never were.
Yeah.
Maybe that was all a facade, and this is actually the ass that they are. I know, I'm out of control tonight.
Is that how it happens?
Yeah.
Is that how it happens, Rob?
Hey,
look, she's strangling him right now. Look at her hand gestures.
You know what?
She's strangling him right now.
Rob is being awfully revelatory. Go ahead, please.
Rob, whose neck is that? Whose neck is that right now?
I have something
you're strangling
to recommend
right
for you.
Now.
Wow.
It's called Xanax.
This is the
actually.
I was just about to say that. I was going to use that. Some of the Xanax.
That this is the actual human being they are, and you have to accept that that's the person that they are, and the person that you are in love with in your mind doesn't exist. And Carrie's going mm-hmm. through that with him. And so those little bit. This is the cool thing about their relationship is that even within that, she's still doing her job and trying to play him, but it's just getting really confused.
The moment, complicated.
It's so complicated. The moment I loved on this show tonight, besides so many others, was when she puts the hand on his shoulder.
Yep, and he calls her out.
And he calls her out mm-hmm. about how she's trying to play him.
Feminism,
but she, yeah, but she's still trying to play him through that.
Yeah, but, then,
but she still also means it.
And then at the end of this, what does he do? He reaches out and...
He does the exact same thing. It was a callback.
He's
playing
her.
I know, but it's like, why didn't, I mean, it's like, you didn't see him playing you?
Because they're emotionally playing each other. It's the sort of thing when you get into a fight with somebody that you're with, mm-hmm. And you do something and it pisses them off, and then they'll do, to sort of make up for it, the same thing for you. Now, I don't think he's trying to make up for it in a nice way. I think he's using it to play her, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's...
He's playing her more than she's playing him.
Yeah.
He really is playing her.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think he's as confused about his feelings towards her as she is towards him.
Yeah.
Because Brody's about Brody, period.
I was going to say, that's exactly where the narcissism comes into play.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Such a narcissist. And this is why this character is so brilliantly constructed, because he is such a classic narcissist.
Mm-hmm.
Can't stop lying.
Yep.
Can't stop looking out for himself. Cannot trust a single thing he says, ever. But she is far more, and that's what's cool about her character, she is completely committed to her job. And completely confused about this human being. So, if I were Peter, I would say it 20 times a day. Yeah. Hey, I'm going to text you. Like, remember, don't trust Brody.
Don't sleep with him.
At all.
But I don't know how she gets so confused.
Well, because, Nikki said is true. Like, if you fall in love with somebody, whether or not, because I think even though, like, the whole thing in the cabin last mm-hmm. season, mm-hmm. I think she did, and even in the rain that first night at the mm-hmm. whole, the meeting, there's still, you always look for that little spark of humanity when somebody is an ass. You always do. It's human nature to do it. It's why we actually like villains like this, because you don't, they're not all bad. You look for just that one tiny moment. So she saw
this
him.
And a brokenness. No, and there's a brokenness about both of them.
Yeah.
There's a, I mean, for her, it's, you know, her mental illness. And for him, it's everything that she now knows about him and how he
his
was broken down. His shattered soul.
Yep.
So you find this, like, you know, this connection between someone else who is also broken.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't make you mm-hmm. feel so bad about yourself. It's like, we're in this together now. So it is so new. It's so nuanced.
It is so nuanced. And I mean, I think also, too, is that we expect other people to think and behave like we do. And the more intimate the relationship, the more you're thinking that. Like, nobody ever believes that they're in love on their own. Not really. You know what I mean? I think that people, and I'm sure everyone in this room has experienced this mm-hmm. both ways. Somebody has felt a strong way towards you. You didn't feel it back, and they didn't understand because mm-hmm. they're just like, how can I be feeling this alone? And then we've all had that feeling too, where, so for her, I think, except for Thaddeus, who has no heart. But I think so for her, she's thinking, I have all these confused feelings. Yes, I'm playing him. Yes, I'm doing my job. But I have all these confused feelings also that are legitimate.
Yeah.
He probably does too. And he's such an absolute perfect liar. That how would she doubt him in that moment? I don't know what you're talking about. Come here. It's everything she wants to believe. Now, I have no idea if he knew that was going to happen or if he gave Roya some kind of silent message.
I think he probably did, but whether or not he did, he just, you're right, he's brilliant at manipulating her. And so when she starts crying in front of him, there's still that moment when you break down with that person that mm-hmm. you, obviously, I need a better dating life. But you know, you break down in front of that person and you really want them to comfort you, and he stepped right into it.
Ugh.
And she bought it.
This is interesting.
I'm
learning a lot. Keep going.
Go right ahead.
She did buy it, but will not stop her from doing her job.
No,
nothing's going to stop Carrie from.
Well, that's the thing I love about her character. At the end of the day, she will choose her job.
Yes.
It's how much is she going to compromise herself, her heart along the way?
Oh, a lot.
A lot.
Yeah. Totally.
Absolutely.
Well, but I think what I heard you say is that she was going to trust him at some point, and it's going to screw something up.
Yeah, I'm going to call that.
Yeah, I'm going to call that.
I mean, that. So when it happens, y'all can tweet me.
Absolutely.
We can tweet each other back and forth when we see it.
So as good as she is at her job, I know she's going to screw up.
She is.
She's a screw up.
It's going to be him. Wait. He's her Achilles heel.
I think she's...
Thank you.
I think...
Yeah. Carrie is not... broad strokes a screw up. In fact, she never screwed up once, John. She was right about everything she said.
She slept with him and then she said the whole thing about the tea. So yes, she did screw up. I'm saying he's her Achilles heel outside of him. I don't mean she's a screw up across the board. I mean she screws up.
She screws up
and,
her
and
life.
And in ways and in her work.
No, she doesn't screw
she
up
did.
Her work. She's never been wrong.
She slept with the guy. She gave up the tea thing, which screwed that whole thing up. That was a screw up.
Okay, she slept. That was inappropriate. That was inappropriate.
Wow.
I'll give you that.
That was inappropriate.
It was unprofessional.
Excuse me.
Okay. Duly noted.
That was inappropriate, no doubt. And she screwed up her own life with that. However, who screwed up the biggest, Estes, by not believing her?
I don't believe that.
He let a man with a freaking suicide vest walk in with a vice president. That's a screw up, not her.
Yeah. Now, I have a question. Do you think that...
It's not like she's infallible. All I'm saying is that she's made mistakes. She screwed up a few times, and clearly she has. I don't know why that's a big deal.
Well, you said she's a screw-up.
I qualified it by letting you know, she's not a screw-up across the board. She has made mistakes. She screwed up here and she screwed up there, and now she's going to screw up again.
Don't mock my best friend, Carrie.
Fight. Oh, I was going to ask, do you think, though, that it was a giveaway just because Brody approached her and she's like, you're breaking protocol, basically, by coming, like, by having that conversation? Do you think just by him approaching her, she knew something was up? I mean, I don't know why they did that.
Maybe we'll find that out next week, because that would obviously be a tip off. Like, Roya would definitely have to. Yeah. This is a guy who doesn't want to have any contact with her, the least amount of contact possible, and all of a sudden he's volunteering. Let me talk to you on the side. She's like, oh, does this have anything to do with? He's like, no, this has nothing to do with. She's like, well, you know the protocol. Like, eye contact you.
Yeah.
Like, so. Oh, I just thought you might want to know. All of a sudden he's like a cheerleader for the other side.
I would have been like, okay, something's up for sure.
Right.
Like,
and that'll probably be revealed, hopefully, that she's not that naive, I don't think.
Or he knew exactly what he was doing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But she said to him, she already knew they were there in Gettysburg when they had that conversation in the hallway, because she said it to him right there. So that makes me think either they're also watching the store, or although here's my question to you guys.
I thought Chapman was one of them.
Days have passed, right? Why have they not gone in and got that safe before? Whoever went in and retrieved it.
Maybe they knew that CIA was watching it.
They knew that they were watching.
Okay, so they waited instead of going in while the CIA was watching it. They waited until there were 7 CIA officers in there, and then they had to kill them.
The only thing I can point to is the fact that the word Hezbollah came out and the new guy from out of town.
So you think they weren't prepared to act before that?
Until now it's imminent.
It may not have been a thing that was actually going to happen unless... They went in.
I'm throwing this out. I don't think that was Hezbollah. That was some black ops business. Like, that was some black ops. That was some private soldiering business.
Former Blackwater shows up.
That was like Blackwater business. Okay. That was private soldiers.
But you did see
the guy,
right?
If so, who?
But that guy was there. The guy with the sunglasses
She made up Hezbollah.
I mean the guy they were following that.
Yes, but so we don't know that he was Hezbollah at all. She was like, tell Roya he's Hezbollah.
Right.
And then they're like, is he? And she's like, I don't know, just say Hezbollah.
But Black Ops from what side? I don't quite understand what you're going for.
Black Ops. I think it's like Blackwater private soldiers.
Okay, but hired by...
That's what I was asking.
Who hired by?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Hired by Abu Nuzair.
Okay.
Hired by Abu Nuzair.
We actually have an interesting tweet from Apollo Priestess again saying, first of all, that Brody does not love Jessica. He has feelings for Carrie. But he's also said Virgil was made.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. I think that, Virgil was made when he was following that guy?
Yeah.
Poor Virgil. I hope they don't kill Virgil.
I like Virgil.
I don't know if he was made or not. I don't know if it matters.
Yeah, I'm just throwing it out there. So. Yeah, she
thought kind of clumsy, those guys. The guy, I thought he got assassinated.
I thought that was too convenient. They got eyes everywhere, cameras everywhere, and he loses him within 30 seconds. Please.
Yeah. Although I also also wondered if that wasn't deliberate. I think the show is starting to make me paranoid. But if it wasn't deliberate that they had...
Starting
this, like,
to.
All right. Right.
Okay. Episode one, I was like, you know, I'm driving down the street.
Who's following me? Yeah, she's 24 did this to
right
me, too.
It is, because you're like, I mean, it's crazy. I'm sorry. Well, I'll go on this
Nikki,
little tangent for a second.
You're not paranoid. There are plenty of people following you. They're stalking you.
Me? No. I live a pretty, like,
it's John.
Easygoing.
No,
John's
it's just me.
Stalking
oh, it's
you.
Just
John.
It's
just me.
And my grandmother. Right. No, but, like, I mean, the fact that it's, like, in some, like, Taylor's store in the middle of, you know what I mean? Like, some bomb is in there. And the, I don't know. It's, like, it scared me from day one.
Oh, yeah, totally. Well, I was just thinking that, like, I don't think the writers do anything by accident and just and having a sleepy agent who just, he's like, oh, well, I got to take my microphone with me. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That seems like it was planted there for a reason.
It just seemed like a very, I mean, to echo what you guys are saying, it just seemed like a very low rent operation all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Right. Where I was like, are you kidding me? You're the CIA and you're bumbling around with your microphone and you can't get close
enough.
Maybe
he's a plant.
Maybe.
I don't know. I'm just guessing. Just
everybody's
because
a double agent.
Or maybe they want us to believe that we really, maybe they want us to believe that we really didn't know about 9/11.
What?
What just
that
happened?
Was the longest
that's
two
a seed
seconds
plant. Think wait. About it. It's, okay. It's a seed plant.
What are you all talking right. about? I don't even understand what you're saying.
Hey, if we don't have competent intel,
they?
Guys.
So
they.
The government is contacting the writers of Homeland in order to craft this
who's
show.
Who's the consultant for this show?
So that
there
the
is
United
a consultant.
States. Wait a minute. I'm just tracing your logic here, Thaddeus. Mm-hmm. What Thaddeus is saying with that is that the United States government is working with the writers and creators of Homeland to craft the entire series so that we, the people of the United States, but once and for all, finally believe that actually the government did not know about 9/11.
Argo.
I just want to
the
drop
United
a dime.
States government just worked drop with a fake film company to make a fake film to get sausages
that's
out,
true.
Okay?
That's
what
deep, Thaddeus.
It's deep.
That
listen,
is some deep business.
I'm sorry. I will just put this out there. I don't put anything past anyone.
Exactly.
Okay,
that's
Thaddeus?
What I'm saying.
It is a little crazy, but at the same time, everybody's a little crazy. So I don't put it past anyone.
There's a lot of crazy stuff going on in the world that
there
we
really
do not know about.
Exactly. Like the Illuminati running everything, Thaddeus.
I
don't know about the Illuminati. I didn't say anything about the Illuminati.
Now the Illuminati's after us.
Wait, no, okay. I just think that the sleepy agent seemed a little weird. I'm sorry. I don't know what's happened.
It was weird. I thought he was dead.
But he's kind of been sleepy in other episodes. I mean, he's been
I'm sorry, but the
weird.
CIA is not that incompetent. I'm sorry. I don't
it
buy it.
It seems like it was put there for a reason.
It did That's, seem like it was put there for a reason.
Yeah.
Yes. But
Okay, so what happens in your faith of the situation of the show if they don't, like, extract this being an actual viable motivation behind something that has to do with the plot of the show.
That mess up, if they don't explain that?
Yes.
I'll let it go.
Well, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know if I'll let it go.
I won't let it go either.
I'll think it'll be, I will think it'll be like the Mike moment where it was like they needed to get to a plot point. And they, in that moment, I mean, listen, you know, we're giving the writers a lot of credit and they deserve a lot of credit, you know, but at the same time, writing 13 episodes and having every single moment be glorious is a lot to ask of someone. So if that ends up being, it is, I mean.
That's their job. I kind of agree with John
because like, I know, like, even for our show, like Lauren Unerick, who, you know, she writes a show with Aaron Ehrlich and yes, we have a team of writers, but they sit there and they comb through and we've had 12 this season, third season, we'll have 20 episodes, but we've normally had 12. And she combs through every moment because she's like, every single sentence needs to be, you know, needs to mean something. Mm-hmm. Whatever that is, whether it's setting up, whether it's, you know, just a really authentic moment, whether it's a revelation, whatever it is, it needs to count for something, or it doesn't need to be there, or the scene doesn't need to be there.
Well, here's the thing, like, okay, there's three things about that. If that's not on purpose, are we to imagine that the CIA is infallible? The CIA is not infallible.
No,
because
but that's something...
listen, there was an attack in an embassy not too long ago. None of our intelligence agencies are infallible. So mistakes do happen. So one thing is maybe they're just illustrating that. Like, look, these are not omnipotent
organizations, they do make errors. Mm-hmm. Things slip through. Mistakes happen. And that's how terrorist acts happen.
Yeah.
And they do. And that's part of reality. So if that happens, then maybe that's the point they're trying to make with that moment in
the show. That's a good point.
You know?
Because they also, I mean, when 9/11 did happen, one of the things they said was how the CIA and the FBI and all
they
the different...
They weren't communicating.
Yeah. At all. And that was the breakdown of communication was one of the huge problems in regards to what happened to what continues to happen.
Right.
Not as often, thank God, but to us and to people around the world.
I would expect that from a cop who eats donuts, who's on some random stakeout. There's different levels of.
There is, but maybe.
Expect a higher level of competency based on pay. There's all they always say, how come I don't know this information? It's above your pay grade. Well, those guys are supposed to be a par above, every level of law enforcement.
But right now, remember how tiny the amount of people that know about this even are. That how shadowed this operation really is. That very few people know that Brody is a terrorist. Very few people know what they're planning to do. This is a very small operation that they're running here. And the truth is, these are not infallible people. Mistakes do. Everybody is a human being,
correct,
no matter how good or bad you are at your job. To me, it's we can't excuse this, but we can't excuse Estes letting, once again, a man with a suicide vest on, strapped on him, walking into a bunker with the vice president. He didn't catch it, did he?
No, he did it.
I don't know.
But it wasn't because he was sleeping
at
his desk.
But do you know what I mean?
She's still not letting this go. Yeah.
I'm just saying, mistakes do happen.
Of course.
I would buy it if that ended up being something purposeful, but I would also buy it if it was just a mistake that happened.
To me, that's
not so far-fetched.
She's going to be in, season 5, and you'll be talking about,
And I would bring it
back.
You'll
be talking, Finn and Dana, and then she'll be like, but it's still...
Yeah, that's right.
Well, cause
does
to me,
not excuse
but,
SC.
But to me, that's the biggest mistakes we've seen so far on this show is that. I mean, hello... That was almost a freaking act of terror on the United States soil.
Right.
So, that's the biggest mistake we've seen anybody make ever.
And people did die.
And a woman did die, yes. Yeah. So,
It wasn't a mistake. I mean, he was in range to get whatever audio he was supposed to get. And they were just...
Oh, we're back. Okay, sorry.
We're back on the mic guy.
Yeah, we're back on the mic guy.
Yeah. He just, I don't know. It just stuck out to me, and I just have a feeling it's going to mean something later.
Which part? That he was asleep in the car?
That he was asleep in the car and a little bumbling. I don't know. I just have and I could be totally wrong here, and I'm totally cool if I am. I just think that it's very possible that maybe there's a mole.
I was thinking that.
I still don't trust as much as I want to be able to trust him. Oh. I still suspect, Peter.
Okay, here it goes.
Yeah.
That is, you're not going to check out. The lady's going to talk about Peter Quinn for a while. We're going to go on and on about him.
All right. Look, so he is really, really hot.
He's
there is
so
no
shout
escaping
out to Rupert
this.
Friend. You know,
oh
you,
just
you've
no
got
escaping.
A couple friends here, Rupert Friend. They
man
like you a lot.
Is a very, very good looking specimen.
He is. Do you,
right.
Let me ask you this
now
because we said there seems to be something about him that's going to pop up later because she said she didn't know who he was.
No.
Really?
Wow.
That's all you.
Oh, please. You guys weren't talking like this when we were watching it.
That was not Thaddeus. It was one time.
To each other.
Thaddeus.
Please.
That was...
Please.
So I'm glad one of you grabbed that because it was such an opportunity.
Look, now she goes again. Another one.
I have nothing left to say.
No, but we do think that there's definitely backstory with him because this major character just shows up on the scene and all of a sudden he's angry at Carrie and they're flirting and they're, all this stuff.
And his life was saved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she says, I don't know who this guy is.
Yes.
I've never seen him.
The very first moment. It was foreshadowing.
Yeah,
but it's kind of is she supposed to know who this guy is?
Yes.
That's another thing.
Yeah, she worked at the CIA.
Yeah, but she's...
In 6 years, she's never seen him there.
And he, apparently Saul knows him, so why...
Exactly.
Why hasn't she seen him? Why doesn't she know him?
Okay, she has a couple levels of supervisors above her.
I don't know. I don't think that Saul did. I think only Estes knew.
Oh, no, I think only Estes. It was only Estes.
You're right. It was Estes.
It was just a weird moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a feeling because there's absolutely no backstory, we never heard his name last season that I can recall anyway, unless if you guys could tweet us if you do. But I think there's definitely something going on with him. And, you know, as we said, he survived. Now that
he's the only one.
Yeah, now that he could easily have, you know, just played dead, but still, maybe
he
not.
He survived.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so you guys think he's a double agent?
Well, didn't we see him in the previews for next week's?
I think so. Mm-hmm. I think so.
I saw him in the preview.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was like, ah.
Yeah. Well, he didn't. Yeah.
Cutie's alive.
They're going to kill him.
Let's talk about you for a minute. Yes.
Me?
Yes.
No, Homeland's so much better.
No.
Nikita Loach.
Let's talk so about much you. More interesting. Tell us about your upcoming awesomeness everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Not everywhere, just a few places. I have a Christmas movie coming out, Golden Christmas 3. That's right, they did two before this one, on November 25th, and then a movie called Flying Lessons that comes out December 7th, but you can actually get it on VOD November 7th. They're doing weird, like, release on VOD beforehand and then in the theaters. It's called Flying Lessons with the lovely Maggie Grace and Hal Holbrook and Christine Lottie. And, yeah, he's...
Big fan of Hal Holbrook.
Hi, Hal.
He's legend.
Yeah, he is a legend.
So special.
Yeah, what was that like?
Man.
Was it?
Yeah, so kind of. My character doesn't, actually have scenes with him, but we did the Santa Barbara Film Festival. We opened it with a movie, and so I got to meet him and talk to him, and he's just such a lovely human being. Yeah.
Class act.
A class act.
Yeah.
But, so that comes out. That'll be in theaters December 7th.
What's awesome. That about?
I think it's a movie about grief and forgiveness. And the main character, she actually has something pretty traumatic happen to her, and it sends her down this road of, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, so to speak. But she leaves town, and my character was supposed to go with her. We had these dreams of going to New York and dancing, but I got pregnant, so I get left behind. And so she goes off, and she really, along the way, ruins all of her relationships with her mother, with her friends, with her boyfriend. She has to come home and make amends and, find her way back to forgiveness if you can forgive after something really traumatic happens to you. How do you find your way back? I loved the script when I read it. It was such a good script. So I'm excited to see if everyone actually enjoys the movie.
I'm sure we will.
Yeah.
Video on demand, right? So those can look for that on video on demand.
Yes, November 7th. And then in the theaters, December 7th.
All around, right?
November 7th, December 7th. November 7th.
Yeah, I know.
Yes. And might I add that Nikki DeLoach is definitely not awkward.
I don't know.
Definitely not. Far from it.
I see what you did there.
Oh, thank you. thank you, Patty.
You're welcome.
Although I feel awkward all the time.
That's fine.
What?
I do. You really? Don't feel awkward a lot in life?
No, I'm probably not self-aware enough to know that I should be awkward.
That's why I stays away from social
don't
networks.
Care.
Oh, that's why you're not on Twitter.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
see, but I think you would probably be one of those people. You might be like me. Like, I was like, no, no, no. And then MTV was like, you guys have to get, a Twitter handle. I was like, okay, whatever. And then all of a sudden I started, and then I was like I can't control it.
It takes over your life, doesn't it?
It's crazy. I think you would be like that. Like, you would be one of those guys that would avoid it, and then once you got on it, you'd be like, I just had two bowls of cereal.
My dad just joined, and he resisted forever, and now he called me the other day, and he's like, I'm on Twitter all the time. I love it.
Dad, I love it. No. I love it too.
I still
it's
don't
addicting.
Text.
It is.
It is addicting.
You don't text?
No. Oh my God. Do you have a record player?
I actually have a record player.
A phonograph.
So that
I have a record player. Oh my God.
I'm like, that doesn't count.
No, I know. No. I actually do it.
Because then that turns around and that's cool again.
That's true. That's true. It is cool again. What about an 8-track?
I was going to say an 8-track player. 8-track.
Yeah. You have an 8-track, don't you?
He's
what, out. Eight track? No, I don't have.
Okay,
track.
All right, just checking.
I have a 4-track. It came out before the 8-track.
Oh my gosh!
And Thaddeus is a 1-track.
I'll take that as a compliment.
It's a 1-track. What else can we chat about? What about? Tell us more about Christmas. The Christmas one.
Actually, it's a TV movie. It's on the ION Network, mm-hmm. and it's just a feel good Christmas movie. It's got golden
Those
retrievers and
it's
love.
Got
and I will it watch does anything
it's
with
got puppies.
Puppies
and
oh, come on!
Happy ending for the movie puppies.
Thank you.
So these two little movie puppies, by the way. Adorable. They're so cute. My mother-in-law had said that she wanted to find another golden retriever because theirs had passed away. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, well, do you want these two golden retrievers? And she did. She flew into town and she got them.
That's great.
Yeah, so they're up in Minnesota and they're really big now. But
so it's a perfect holiday
awesome.
Movie.
That's
it's a perfect, yes.
That's great.
It's a perfect holiday movie.
With
they found homes
everything.
And yeah.
Where can people see that in one?
On the ION Network. November 25th.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, so look for that one. So,
and then Awkward Season 3, we start shooting end of January. So, yeah.
What happens this season?
I can't tell you anything.
can you tweet us?
No, she'll be tweeting about it.
No.
She's like, oh, spoiler, delete.
Partly because I don't know. No, I'm kidding. I do know, some juicy tidbits because they do get, I mean, we're really fortunate. Lauren brings us in the writer's room and we get to talk about,
Whoa.
Like, where we would like. Oh,
that's unusual.
Oh, absolutely. We sit down with the whole team of writers and discuss where we would like to take our character, what we would like to see happen. Doesn't mean it's going to.
Wow.
But
still really cool, though.
But Lauren, Lauren is such a there's no ego involved mm-hmm. in what she does. So if she hears a good idea, she'll be like, oh, I love it. Okay, let's do that. Let's do that. Let's do that. Like, mm-hmm. she'll be the first to say, oh, that wasn't me. That was Molly. Like, Molly was the one that came up with, you're welcome. Like, she was the one who came up with that, her whole character's tagline. And Lauren's always like, I didn't do that. That was Molly. So it's
I'm just so surprised that she lets the writers meet anybody because she was stuck away in a room with no sun. And
I know.
Lots
of
takeout.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And we have an amazing team this year. Uh-huh. So I'm so excited. We start table reads in 2 weeks.
Sweet.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, the cool thing about the show is that you go into the season with all of your episodes locked. So when you start shooting,
you already know your arc.
You know where you're going. And for Lauren, the way she thinks about the show, like she knew if we got a season 2 pickup, she knew where she wanted Lacey season 2 from episode 1, season 1.
Wow.
Like, which is, that's why I'm a little hard on writers for storytelling. That's why I was kind of with you guys for a lot of it, because I know the time and the effort that she puts into, you know, just the thoughtfulness and you can do that. Mm-hmm. You just have to work 10 times harder than everyone else.
So let me ask you this, because a lot of actors don't want to know where they're going because they want to just know as the character knows. Is there any issue with that? You like to know?
I like to, it doesn't, either way.
Yeah, it's fine with you.
It's fine with me. I think, like, for season 1, it was important for me to know where I was mm-hmm. going. Like, for instance, my character, there was this mystery of the carefrontation and who wrote it. Mm-hmm. And I actually knew in the audition room, she told me then, like, you were the one that wrote it. But she's like, but you can't tell anyone. And we didn't tell anyone. And then, but the lead character, I mean, they literally left the page out of all the scripts that they sent to everyone, you know? Mm-hmm. So nobody knew. And then the lead actress who plays my daughter got the scene the night before we shot it. And it was the last scene that we shot of the entire season. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I think you have to keep things from characters, but like for me, I needed to know that I wrote that because she was playing this whole grief arc, mm-hmm. you know, the stages of grief that you go through mm-hmm. when you do something to someone. Mm-hmm. And so I just needed to know. But I think either way,
it's all right with you.
Yeah. Like if I didn't, mm-hmm. I think she's constructed characters that are very grounded and mm-hmm. authentic and real enough, even though in the heightened state of comedy, that whatever direction she would go, it would make sense and we'd be able to follow. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's because you're a genius.
Me? No. Lauren's a genius. Lauren's a genius.
All right. Any last words for the show? For any last questions?
I just want to say
what
it is. Never going to be as bad as Estes allowing that person to go in the room with the vest. I'm sorry.
See, Nikki gets it.
Well, you say that like we debate that. We're not arguing that.
I'm not debating that.
I just had to do it one last time for the road because I love it. It makes me.
Just had to do it one last time for the road. Estes screwed up.
All right. Well, let's let everybody know where they can find you all. So.
All right, you can find me at Jenna Bush, B-U-S-C-H, like the beer, not the present. You can find me on Fanhattan, and you can find my show with Stan Lee on YouTube.com/World of Heroes.
You can find me at J-Rothsee, J-R-O-T-H-C, AMCtheaters.com, ScreenRant.com, and elsewhere around the web. More to come.
Ooh, very nice.
You can find me on Twitter at Club Thaddeus, C-L-U-B-T-H-A-D-D-E.
Well, along with watching you on ION Network on November 25th.
ION Network, Golden Christmas 3, November 25th, and Flying Lessons in Theaters, December 7th. And you can find me at Nikki DeLoach.
There you go.
And then on my Who-Say page,
there
Nikki
you
DeLoach.
Go. And as always, you can't find me anywhere. So
except here.
Except here.
He's out buying 8-tracks.
That's right. So on behalf of all of us, we want to thank you very much for listening.
Today, thank
we'll
you guys
it.
For having
Nikki,
me.
Nikki, it's been a pleasure having you. Thanks so much. Yay. I love to have you back.
Thank you so much for having
Anytime
me.
Anytime you want to come back, we'd love to have you. Thank you so much for being here and being such an awkward and enjoyable guest.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.